Some of you may have noticed that we're in a little decorating project around here. And due to a number of things that happen with labor shortages and various things, we are a bit behind. But we do hope that by the next time you're in this building, there'll be carpet on the floor. At least the next Vesper, next time you're at Vespers, we hope things will be in very, very good shape for you. So we appreciate your bearing with us. I'm going to be pretty tied to notes tonight. I don't particularly like to do that, but this message I finished somewhere after midnight, I guess, last night. And then we came over. If you had seen that room this morning, you would not believe that some of you are sitting in it. So we came over at 8:30 this morning and finished after 5. So I've not had a chance to read over this as many times as I would like. But I do believe I have something to say to you. And since you've given your time to be here, I'll do my very best to see that it's not wasted time. I pray that the next few minutes will be very, very significant for your life. As I've prayed for this time and earnestly asked the Lord what I should say that would be best for you, although I do not know you personally, God does, and I think He's given me what I should say to you tonight from His Word. I long for you to live a meaningful and happy and fulfilled life. I so desire that you understand that the Christian life is the very best life there is. Knowing God and walking with Him is that every day of your life is as good as it ever gets in life. Nothing brings more joy, will bring you a deeper sense of peace and fulfillment than living every day in total dependence upon God. You know, although many of you here I do not know personally, I think I know what you want in life. You want to have enough of the material things in life to be comfortable. After graduation, you would like to have a job that really is a challenge to you. You'd like to have a career that you could go out the door each morning and your job would not be boring. You don't want something that's a drudgery. Most of you someday would like to be married. You would like to marry someone that you loved and someone who deeply loved you and someone who is committed to you for the rest of life. You'd like to have children, a nice home, a couple of good cars, money for a nice vacation every year. You'd like to have the money to be able to travel to eventually retire and have all you need to live out your days in comfort. Now, that's what most people want, and it's what we call the American dream. Now, I want to share with you tonight what God wants for you. And I'm going to be speaking to you tonight from Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. If you have your Bibles, you may want to turn to it. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. And incidentally, for those of you new, it's always very, very, very permissible to bring your Bible to Vespers. And I would encourage you to always stick in it a sheet of paper and a pencil or a pen so that you could take notes. Through the years, you will hear many things here that I think will be a help to you in life. And so you could take some notes and hang on to what you hear. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them. Now, notice what God says. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. When the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them. Now, I want us to look at this phrase by phrase, or a part of it tonight. Remember your Creator. God designed you. Long before you were ever conceived in the womb of your mother, you were conceived in the mind and heart of a loving God. He created you because He wanted you. You did not just happen. You were created. Psalms 139 says you were knit together in your mother's womb. I have a little kind of a workshop behind my home. I rarely make something, but occasionally I do. And you know, when I make something, it's basically for one reason. Because I want it. If I make a little bird feeder or whatever I make, it's because I want it. That's why God created you. He created you for the very same reason. It's because He wanted you and He loves you. Now, doesn't it stand to reason that if He created you, He knows how He made you. He knows the gifts and abilities and desires He built into you. Wouldn't it make sense that He knows what's best for you? Doesn't a loving mother know what's best for her little baby? Of course she does. And so it is with God. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. God said you were to remember Him while you are young. Well, why not wait till later in life to walk with God? I can think of at least four very good reasons not to wait. Number one, you need His guidance now. In the next few years, you will make major decisions. By the time you're 30 years of age, you will have made many of the important decisions of your life. If you have not already done so, in the very near future, you will decide what you're going to major in college. You will also decide if and whom you will marry. You will make career choices and many other major decisions while you are young. So now is the time you so desperately need guidance which comes from a very close personal walk with God. If you make a wrong decision in any one of those areas, it can deeply mark your life. And so when you need guidance, it's now. And that will only come as you walk with God. There's a second reason. You have no promise of tomorrow. James 4:14 says, "What is your life? It is even as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." Even at its longest, life is very brief. Many a person has waited too late to do what God has asked them to do. I've lived long enough to know some adults who, looking back through life, would give anything in the world if they would have started walking with God when they're your age. There's a third reason why you ought to walk with God as a young person. Your character is being molded. You are becoming now what you will be for the rest of your life. There are four people on our staff now that I knew when they were college students. Two of them happen to be here. Carrie Knight and George Callahan. I knew Dave Edwards, and I knew Dick Jaquist when they were college students at Kansas State University, because I used to go up there once in a while and speak. And I want to tell you something. Those people are not all that different than they were when they were college students. They've all grown and matured, but it was evident to see when they were college students the direction of their life and their character was being formed then. So I'm not surprised at the kind of men they are today, because I knew them and they started walking with God when they were in college. God wants you to be becoming what He had in mind when He created you for His glory. God wants you to be like His Son, Jesus. And He is committed to making that come true. It takes time for God to build a godly character. You know, it's always a delight to see an elderly person who is so loving and gracious, gentle, and such a giving person. And probably everyone here knows some elderly person like that. But let me tell you, that didn't just happen overnight. Just as it takes years for God to make a mighty oak tree, God takes time to build His men and women. You do not have a single day to waste. You have no time to squander. Now is the time to get serious about your walk with God. There's a fourth reason why you ought to walk with God while you're in college. Your reward for all eternity depends on what you do now. God gave you your life, and He wants you to make the most of that precious gift. If you waste time in getting down to business with the Lord, it will not only cost you now in things that you could have attained, ways God could have used you, but it will cost you reward for all of eternity. Folks, you come to know Jesus Christ as a result of faith. You live a life of faith, but the reward you receive from eternity depends on the kind of life you live once you become a Christian. If you're wasting time now, you are knocking yourself out of rewards that you could have had for all eternity. I wish I could paint a picture for you of the tremendous benefits that would be yours if you began to walk with the Lord now. There would be great benefits to you. You will know a peace and joy that passes all understanding. There will come into your life meaning and purpose that will make your days on this earth a joy to live. A deep, abiding peace and joy will flood your life. The guidance of God will be yours. Many of the tragedies of broken homes, children gone astray, and other problems that so plague our society, you have a very good chance to avoid if you will begin to walk with God now. So there'll be tremendous benefits to you. Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life and have it abundantly." And you can have a very, very abundant life if you will begin to walk with Him. Not only are there benefits to you, but there are tremendous benefits that come to others. Some of you right here tonight, some of you upperclassmen, there are tremendous benefits that have come into your life because of some other students sitting right in this room. I was talking with Andrea Johnson the other night on our team. She said, "I remember when Karen Shin came to my room when I was a freshman and invited me to come over to the Baptist Student Union. And she started coming, and God began to work in her life, and she will always be grateful for a single girl who came over to her room and knocked on her door." What tremendous blessings can come to the lives of other people because of your life. If you will walk with God, you will be amazed at how God uses you in the lives of other people. You know, I've lived long enough to see people, and I go places and I hear things. I stand amazed at what God has done in my own life and how He's blessed other people. And let me tell you, if God can do that through my life, He certainly can do it through yours. Do you know what's on earth now that'll be in eternity? People. People. No money, no careers, just people. The thing God loves most is people. And what a thought that He would use you to help people. Now there's a third reason, a third blessing, and that will that there will be great glory brought to God. Isaiah 43:7 says, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." God says He has created you for His glory. It's an amazing thing that we as created beings can bring great joy to our God who loves us so. God has done so much for us. Not only has He created us, but every one of us has rebelled against Him. your sins as much as anyone who has ever lived sent Jesus Christ to the cross. God loved you so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die to pay the penalty for your sin. By believing in Him and living a life of obedience, we can bring praise and honor and glory to our wonderful God. Your life can bring great joy to Him. Now this verse goes on to say, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, while the evil days come not. And I want to share something with you. If you do not bow your heart before God, evil days will come for you. There will be days in which you will no longer care for God. And I've talked with people who maybe at one time they knew God was speaking to them when they were young, and they turned their back on God, and now years and years later, they've wandered far, far from God. Days can turn to years, and perhaps for your whole entire life, you could be ignorant and ignore God. Now, sin is rampant in America. One half of all the people who marry will go through the tragedy of a divorce. And some of you have lived in those homes, and you know what that's like. Unless you walk with God and follow His guidance, you can be one of those statistics. The greatest protection you have in this life is to walk with God. But I want you to notice something else in this same chapter. In verses 6 and 7, it says, remember Him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed. The pitcher by the well is shattered and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Now, what does that mean? God says very clearly the silver cord can be broken, and a day is going to come. As the scriptures say, God created us from the dust of the ground, and a day will come in which this old body will turn back to dust. The silver cord will be broken in your life. You are mortal. You will die. You will not escape the clutches of death unless Jesus comes first. 150 years from tonight, none of us will be here. We will all have to face God, come face to face with the Lord, whether you believe in Him or not. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So someday we will all face God. In 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8, it says, to you who are weary, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus. I hope you never have to look back on your life and say, I had no profit in my days. I wasted my life. How tragic that would be. Now, just two verses before, in chapter 11, verse 9, it says, rejoice, O man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth, and walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Now notice, rejoice, O young man, in your youth. God wants you to rejoice. He wants you to experience joy, and He wants you to have some fun. Now, we believe very strongly here at the Baptist Student Center in having some fun. We've planned some great opportunities for you. We try to provide things like freshman ministry team, in which you can have important friendships, in which you can have some many great times together. Discipleship team is designed for upperclassmen, so you can have accountability, so you can be encouraged, so you can have friendships that will help you in your walk with God. Spring break, we go to one of the most beautiful conference centers in America, and we spend a couple of days on the slopes. We have many retreats and fun times together. And we believe in fun. Fact is, Carrie will tell you more about it, but next week we're going to meet over in Walker Tower because we believe in fun. And OU is playing Texas Tech, it's 7, and we don't want you to be over here because we're going to all meet over there at 6:30 in the lounge. Isn't that right? We've reserved the recreation lounge, and we're going to have a blast for about 30 minutes, and then we're all going to go watch a ball game up on the floors, scatter out through the dorms. We believe in fun. I mean, God had a lot of fun, I think. I mean, look at us. I mean, he must have had some fun making us. Listen to the way this chapter starts. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, when the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them. But then listen to the way the chapter ends. If you go to the end of chapter 12, the conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Notice the verse says, fear God. That means there ought to be a holy awe or reverence for God in your life. You must not play games with the only true and holy God. There needs to be a seriousness in your young life about your relationship to God. Notice he goes on to say, keep his commandments. You must be obedient to what God says. That necessitates your studying the Word of God to know what God says. You know the book I hope you study more than any other single book while you're in college? The Bible, the Word of God. I'll never forget in one of the schools in which I was entered, I heard the president, happened to be at Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth, he says, to know books without knowing the book is a chiefest ignorance. And I believe that's true. I hope the book you'll study more than any other while you're in college will be your Bible. Will you start the school year in the best way that's possible for you? Remembering your Creator, fearing and obeying Him? Will you make a commitment of your life to Him? If you've never given your life to God, you can do that right where you sit tonight. Remember, God created you, He placed you on this earth, and you followed the pattern of every man who has ever lived. You sinned, and you are separated from God. God still loves you, and before you were born, God sent His Son Jesus to die to pay the penalties for the sins that you would commit. Now, if you will accept His payment for your sins and place your trust in Him, you will be forgiven, and you can begin a brand new life. Now, I must tell you that there will be a cost to the Christian life. You will be giving your life to God, and in doing so, God will begin transforming you into the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. Some things will have to drop off along the way for that to happen. That will cost you some conflicts, some sufferings along through life, as most of the world heads in the opposite direction. I would not promise you an easy life. Nothing worthwhile is easy. Going to college is not easy. 4 years? Now, you are paying a price in time, money, effort, and at least 4 years of your life for a degree. Don't expect college to always be easy, because it will not, but it is worth it, and so is your commitment to God. The Apostle Paul spoke of the sufferings that came his way because he was a follower of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 23, he says, are they servants of Christ? Now I speak as if I'm insane. He was comparing himself to the other apostles. He said, I'm more so, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten. Now listen, beaten time without number. Often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 stripes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. Now, regardless of whatever else the Christian life was for Paul, it was not boring, right? He said, I've been on frequent journeys. I've been in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles. I've been in dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, dangers from false brethren. I've been in labor and hardship. I have been through many sleepless nights, in hunger and in thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And he said, apart from all these external things, there is a daily pressure upon me of my concern for all the churches. Now, that's what it cost him to follow Jesus. But I want you to notice something. In this very same book in which he wrote these words, he also evaluated those sufferings. And listen to what he said. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of God, weight of glory. Now notice, our light afflictions. I mean, he's been beaten with lashes. He's been beaten with sticks. He's been stoned. He suffered. And he says, and all these light afflictions are but for a moment. Light afflictions. I think if somebody beat me with a rod, I'm not sure I'd think it was a light affliction. 5 times beaten with 39 lashes with a cat of nine tails. Light afflictions. Why did he see it that way? Because he saw the goal. These afflictions were being used of God in his life to provide rewards for him for all eternity. Paul took the long look. He saw down through time to eternity. Now, many of you here tonight, you have already personally received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Why don't you do something with this life God gave you? Why don't you pay the price to really walk with Him? Why don't you just go for it for the Lord? Now, let's get practical. Every Thursday night of your college career, while school is in session, we're planning to be right here. Now, there'll be an exception. We're going to be in Walker Tower next week. But every Thursday night, you can plan on it. If this school is open, we're planning to be right here from 6:30 to 7:45. Every Thursday, week after week, men and women will stand here and speak as from God to you. During your college career, I will promise you some of God's choicest servants will be brought from many places to Norman to stand here and speak to you in ways that can help you immensely. Will you be here to hear them? Will you be here in April and May like you are tonight? When the pressures of studying, papers due, and exams come, will you still remember your Creator in the days of your youth? Will you put God first in college? I've said this to many of you before. Whatever you do while you're in college, do not make your studies number one. You make God number one. And if God is number one, He will lead you to study. And you will need to do some studying. But don't ever make your studies number one. Fellows, girls, nobody here. Guys, hear this. No girl here wants to ever be married to a guy whose number one priority is his job. And if you make your studies your number one priority, when you graduate, you will transfer that to your job. You'll have time to study. God's given you 168 hours every week. You'll have plenty of time for study. But you also have time to walk with God and get the help you need while you're here. Harold Bullock is a dear friend of many on staff. Several of them have been a member of his church. Fantastic pastor, real man of God. And sometimes, if you're around the next 2 or 3 years, you'll have opportunity to hear him. pastors a church in Fort Worth that, in my opinion, is doing as much as what on the heart of God is about any church I know. One day, Harold said this. You know, when you really get down to it, do you know what most students' number one priority is? I thought about that for a minute. He said, you know what it is? It's their goof-off time. He said, they will protect that with a vengeance. I thought, isn't that amazing? I think he's dead right. Now, later this year, we will see people drop off of the freshman ministry team that were here last night. Later in the year, some of the people are on Monday night. Later in the year, some of the people that were at the discipleship team on Tuesday night will not be here. You will also see some people begin to miss their weekly Bible studies or their apartment Bible studies. You will see them beginning to miss Sunday school and church. And if you ask them about it, they'll give you a very good reason. It sounds good. I am so busy with my studies and my work. You know, when I remember something Lauren Sanney, I heard Lauren was president of the Navigators, head of the Billy Graham follow-up department for many years. I heard him speak one time in which he said, I thanked our group last year when we were at Glen Eyrie in Colorado during spring break. When people give you a reason, there are usually two reasons. The reason that sounds good and then the real reason. And I thought, that's true. Many of the reasons I hear in my lifetime, they're the reason that sounds good, but they're not the real reason. You know the real reason many people will drop off of those teams? Because they are diligently protecting their goof off time. And if they learn to live under the discipline of the Holy Spirit of God, they would have time to get their studies done and have time for their spiritual life. You know, we have a group come to our home every Monday night last spring. I had three guys on a team that are electrical engineers. Friend, it doesn't get any busier than that. Unless it's architecture, probably. We have some students that have excellent grades. They're in hard majors, and some of them also working. But because they've begun to discipline their life and decide what's most important in life, they have time for their spiritual life. You know, I remember when I was in college, I walked over to the Baptist Student Center one night, the very first week I was at Texas A&M. A fellow had come by my dorm and had visited me and asked me to go, and I walked over there. And I remember saying to my roommate that night before I went, hey, let's go over there. They're having a meeting, and we used to meet every night for about 20 minutes, 20 to 25 minutes. I said, why don't you come go with me? And he said, oh, no, I got to study. And I thought, I got to study too. I was trying to make it in veterinary medical school. They only took 64 boys from the state of Texas and Louisiana. At that time, they shared the same vet school. And I had to make very, very good grades. And I knew I had to study. And I did study a great deal. But I thought, God, I want to grow as a Christian. And so I went over to that meeting. I listened to what the speaker had to say. And I remember walking back that night and thanking God, while I'm in school, I'm going to give some time to my spiritual life. And if I can't make it into veterinary medical school and give the time I need for my spiritual life, then maybe that's not the place for me. And I walked back into my room, and there was my roommate who didn't go because he was talking to another fellow at the time, and he said, I've got to stay here and study. And when I came back from the meeting, those two guys were still talking. And I thought, that's exactly what I thought. You have the time, basically, to do what you want to do. If you will make the commitment